Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim Bismillahirrahmanirrahim Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina Innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir Sadaqallahu al-azim مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله In the time of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم there were two superpowers one was the Persian Empire and the other was the Roman Empire The greater Syria area, Turkey, Baitul Muqaddas, was all under the control of the Roman Empire at that time. In the sixth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote letters to different kings. And among those kings, he had also sent a letter with a sahabi by the name of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu an, who was an extremely handsome sahabi, When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come down in the form of a human being, then he would come down in the form of this sahabi. So he sent this sahabi with a letter to Hercules, to Hiraqal, the emperor of Rome. At that time, the Roman emperor was in Ilia, or what we know as Al-Quds, Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Romans victory against the Persians. So as appreciation and shukr for this great favor that Allah blessed them with, Hiraqal walked from his capital, from Hims, right till Jerusalem in appreciation for this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he received the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inviting him to deen, to Islam. It's a lengthy incident that appears in Sahih Bukhari where Hiraqal, in order to get more information about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a Christian. So he had the divine scriptures in front of him, before him, and they were expecting a Nabi to come. So he found out, is there anyone here in my territory that comes from this place? Finally, Abu Sufyan was brought before him, who was not yet a Muslim. He asked him various questions. And after Abu Sufyan gave the answers to the questions, Hiraqal said to him, فَإِنْ كَانَ مَا تَقُولُ حَقًّا فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ If what you're saying is true, if your answers are accurate, then this Nabi is going to be owning the ground under my feet. So they already knew, it was already in the scriptures, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummatis, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would one day take over Baytul Muqaddas and they would conquer Masjid al-Aqsa. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, the Romans were in control of this area. The time of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, towards the latter days of Abu Bakr radiallahu an's time, the Muslim armies went into the Roman territories. Obviously, there was already certain battles that had taken place against the Romans before that. So, the famous battle of Muta was fought against the Romans, which is in current day Jordan. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the first Amir, he was made shaheed. The second Amir was Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, the first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was made shaheed. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an, the third Amir, was made shaheed. And thereafter Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an was appointed, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an saved the Muslim army. So that was the first battle against the Romans. Thereafter the battle of Tabuk was because of a threat that came from the Romans. Rasulullah s.a.w. mobilized with Sahaba radiallahu anhum and traveled. A very difficult journey. But the Romans did not pitch up for that expedition. Here again from Tabuk, Nabi s.a.w. sent a letter to Hiraqal, inviting him towards Islam. He himself was convinced, but because of the fear of losing his control and his power, therefore he did not accept the deen of Islam. Then, one of the final wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to dispatch the army of Usama radiallahu an to avenge the death of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, who was the father of Usama radiallahu an. That was also against the Romans. So three battles in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or three armies were dispatched in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the Romans. And then the fourth very decisive battle, there were other battles as well, but the fourth very decisive battle which broke the back of the Roman Empire was the Battle of Yarmouk, which had taken place on the banks of the River Jordan, which is current day the north of Jordan and the border of Jordan and what is called Israel, and on one side is Syria. So this is where this battle had taken place. 40,000 Muslims against 240 or 250,000 Romans. We can understand the ratio. So at that time, one of the Muslims commented, and he says, "Ma aqall al-Muslimin wa akthar al-Kafirin." How few are the Muslims in number, and how great are the kuffar. When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu heard this, he became absolutely angry, became very angry. And he said, "Ma aqall al-Kafirin wa akthar al-Muslimin." The kuffar are so few, and the Muslims are so large in number. And then he mentions a very, very important statement. He says, "Innama takthuru al-junudu bin nasr wa taqillu bil khidlan." That victory is not based on number. Victory is not based on number. It's not based on equipment. It's not based on military might. Today, when we see the current crisis in Gaza, and we think, look at the power and the might of the enemy. How are the Muslims ever going to win in such a situation? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu made it very clear on that occasion. 40,000 against 240,000. He says that victory does not depend on number. He says, "Innama takthuru al-junudu bin nasr." The size of an army depends on the help of Allah that they have. "Wa taqillu bil khidlan." And if they have been forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they have not secured the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their number may be a lot, but they're actually very few in number. Obviously, there's great details to these battles. We don't have the time to go into all of this. But this battle had broken the back of the Roman Empire. Thereafter, there were other battles that had taken place against the Romans. There were certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, prominent Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that were appointed as generals in this area. So, Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu an, Amr bin As radiallahu an, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu an, and Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an. Later on, he was appointed as the commander-in-chief. So when all the armies, they would fight independently, and when they would meet together, and there was a major operation where all of them would be fighting, then Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu was appointed as the commander-in-chief. Before we go on, we had explained that Hiraqal had already prophesied that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's followers would take over the piece of land that was beneath his feet. In fact, the details or the prophecy of Umar radiallahu anhu conquering Baytul Muqaddas was also recorded in the scriptures, in the Christian scriptures. So long before Islam, in the days of Jahiliyyah, Umar radiallahu anhu on one occasion had gone for some business to Sham, as was the habit in that time. They would travel to Syria, to Sham for business. So Umar radiallahu anhu, before Islam, he was in Sham and he had some work. So his companions left and he remained behind. He was busy doing some work. And there was some type of general or some type of army personnel who tried to show and exert his authority over Umar radiallahu anhu. So he grabs Umar radiallahu anhu and he locks him up in a room. And he told him that this sand that's here, you carry it from this side and put it to the other side. Umar radiallahu anhu was Umar. He was locked in the room, he did nothing. He just sat there. Later on, when this person came, and he said, "But I told you to do this," Umar radiallahu anhu became angry. He took that spade and he killed this person. Now he ran from there. Ibn Kathir rahimullah has mentioned this incident in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, and most of the details that we'll be mentioning is from Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. So he ran from there and he passes by the monastery of a monk. So he sits by the monastery. After some time, the monk comes out. He asks him, "What has happened?" He says, "No, I was left behind, or I remained behind from my friends."
And now I need to meet up with them. So this monk begins to stare at Umar radiallahu anh. And then he says to Umar radiallahu anh, that the Christians know that I am the most knowledgeable with regard to the scriptures. And I am telling you that you are going to expel us from this land. Umar radiallahu anh thinks to himself, what you talking? He actually tells him. He says, you're talking some other stories. You're talking some other things. I need some food and I need to meet up with my friends. What you're speaking about me coming and expelling you from this land? He says, whatever you say, I'm telling you is going to happen. So I want an amnesty document from you. So Umar radiallahu anh, not thinking anything about it, where am I, one person in Makkah Mukarrama, where am I going to expel these people from this land? So he signed some document for him that this monastery of his will be left safe and no one will interfere with it. That was what he wanted. Umar radiallahu anh signed that document, not thinking that this would ever happen. Nevertheless, he says to Umar radiallahu anh, you can take my donkey and find your companions. When you find your companions, just leave the donkey loose. That donkey will somehow come back. Umar radiallahu anh did as he told him, and he met up with his companions. So nevertheless, the point is that it was prophesied that not only the Muslims will take over Baytul Muqaddas, but Umar radiallahu anh will be the conqueror of Baytul Muqaddas. So after the battle of Yarmouk and a few other battles, Amr bin As radiallahu anh laid siege to Baytul Muqaddas. There was a very powerful Roman commander by the name of Artabun, who had taken control or taken asylum in Baytul Muqaddas after losing a few other battles against Amr bin As radiallahu anh. He took asylum in Baytul Muqaddas. The Muslims laid siege. For 4 months they laid siege to Baytul Muqaddas. Very fierce fighting. Very intense cold. They managed all of that. Amr bin As radiallahu anh on one occasion wrote a letter to Artabun, and he told him that you know very well that we're going to conquer this place. So why are you losing lives? You rather just hand over this place to us. Artabun writes back and he says that I know very well that you're not going to take over this place. So Amr bin As radiallahu anh writes back a letter to him, and he sends a messenger who knew Roman. And he told him that you make sure you listen to his answer. You listen to what happens there. So he took this letter back. When he came to Artabun, he gave the letter to him. So Artabun tells his people. And then also his people around him ask him, that you're saying with so much of conviction that this man is not going to conquer. He says, because our scriptures has it recorded that a man who has a name with 3 letters will conquer this place. And this man, he doesn't have 3 letters in his name. Now the word Amr and Umar, in English it's 3 letters. But in Arabic, Amr is written with a waw at the end. Although it's not pronounced, to differentiate between Umar. So if there's no harkats, with the waw at the end, although it's not pronounced, that a person will realize that this is Amr and not Umar. So he says that this man has 4 letters in his word. In his name, he can't be the conqueror. The conqueror has 3 letters in his name. So Amr bin As radiallahu anh realized that he was speaking about Umar radiallahu anh. He sends a letter to Umar radiallahu anh to say that we are fighting, it's difficult, and this land is waiting for you. So you should come. When the letter reaches Madinah Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anh makes mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anh says that my suggestion is you should not go. Why must we give in to the demand of the enemy? We must show them that we are not going to give in to their demand. لِيَكُونَ أَحْقَرَ لَهُمْ وَأَرْغَمَ لِأُنُوفِهِمْ. We'll put them in their place. We'll chop their noses. We won't give in to their demand. Ali radiallahu anh on the other hand says, رَوَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, by you going there, so many Muslim lives will be saved. Blood will be saved. Unnecessary blood will not be spilt. So you should go. Umar radiallahu anh takes the suggestion of Ali radiallahu anh. And now Umar radiallahu anh leaves. Let us understand what a glorious journey. Umar radiallahu anh is leaving Madinah Munawwara, going to a newly conquered territory. Many parts of this territory is already under his control. He is the Amirul Mu'mineen. They are defeating the superpower of the time, the Roman Empire. And now he's going for this great and noble journey. We could perhaps say it was the second greatest conquest in Islam. The first conquest was the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. And the second conquest would be the conquest of Al-Aqsa. Umar radiallahu anhu is going on this journey. But absolutely, absolutely simple. In his appearance, in his conveyance, in everything. No glory, no pomp, no show whatsoever. And today, a dictator or an oppressor, and the manner in which they speak, the haughtiness, the pride in which they speak, a Muslim is not like that. Umar radiallahu anhu travels on a simple conveyance, without any saddle. He just had a type of a blanket over that conveyance of his. His legs did not even have a stirrup. His legs were hanging. That blanket on that camel's, on that animal's back would serve the purpose of a blanket or of a saddle when he was riding, and when he would need to rest, then that would be his bedding. He had a type of a back rest, which was a bag which was filled with date fiber or fiber from the date palm. That was his back rest. And when he would dismount and he would need to rest, then that would be his pillow. So this was the simplicity in which Umar radiallahu anhu travels with a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Umar radiallahu anhu, he sends a message to the leaders of the army. As we explained, there were different armies of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He sent a message to them that I am going to come and I will meet all of you at a place called Jabia. Jabia is near Damascus. I will meet you at this place. So Umar radiallahu anhu sends this message. All the army, all the generals, they appointed others in their place, and they proceed towards Jabia. When Umar radiallahu anhu approaching this land, coming as a conqueror, then as he approaches, there was a stream in front of him. Umar radiallahu anhu, in his simplicity, not thinking anything about himself, he dismounts from that conveyance. He dismounts from his conveyance. He removes his shoes. He places his shoes under his armpits, holding his conveyance with his hand, holding the reins with his hand. He enters this water, and barefooted like this, he comes out from the water. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was the commander in chief at that time. He says, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, you are going to be meeting the very high profile people of this area. You're going to be meeting the high profile generals, and you are coming in this way." His clothes were dirty. His clothes had some tears on it. And now in this way you are coming. At that time, Umar radiallahu anhu, although he had a lot of respect for Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, there are many incidents of that nature, to show the respect that he had for him, he punched Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu in his chest. And he says to him, "Oh, ya Aba Ubaidah, law ghayraka qalaha, oh Abu Ubaidah, if only someone else said this besides you." Meaning, I didn't expect a person like you to utter such a statement. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said those famous words which we hear many a times. But the more we hear it, the more we need to ponder over these words, which is the solution for the victory of the Ummah, which is the solution or the recipe for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Umar radiallahu anhu says, remember, O Abu Ubaidah, kuntum adhalla an-nas, wa ahqara an-nas, wa aqalla an-nas. Oh Abu Ubaidah, don't you remember? You were so few in number. You were so weak at that time. You were so ill-equipped. فَعَزَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Today the izzat that you find, today the victory that you see before you, that now we are marching towards Masjid al-Aqsa, this izzat came not because of anything else but Islam. This izzat that we got is because of Islam. Now you are commenting about the way I am behaving, the way I am dressed. This, all of this doesn't give us any honor. This is immaterial. Our izzat and our honor and our victory and our control is only in Islam. وَمَهْمَا تَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةِ فِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّكُمُ اللَّهِ. And if you look for izzat and honor in any other way besides Islam, Allah will disgrace you. The disgrace will not come from the enemy. The disgrace will come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we need time to expound on this, but it's something for us to reflect on. How much of Islam do we have in our lives? Do we feel that the other culture, foreign cultures, are something of respect for us, that if we have to dress like them, then that will be our respect. If we conduct our business according to their style, that will be our izzat. Or are we wholeheartedly accepting the lifestyle of Islam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned this. Thereafter, the different commanders come. When Umar radiallahu anhu sees them, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, Khalid bin Walid, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he looks at their dressing. Look at this. This is a leader. He looks at their dressing. And then Umar radiallahu anhu bends down. He picks up some pebbles and is about to throw it on them. Now, after so long, he is meeting his commanders. He's supposed to be so happy to meet them. They had conquered vast lands. The Roman Empire is coming on its heels because of their efforts. But Umar radiallahu anhu is not concerned about that. There's a bigger concern that he has. He picks up these pebbles to throw at them. And he says to them, سَرْعَ مَا لَفَتْتُمْ عَنْ رَأْيِكُمْ. So quickly you have changed from your views, from your ways. So quickly you have changed. He was looking at the clothes that they were wearing. They were wearing some type of fine garments. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, so quickly you'll have changed. In 2 years you'll have changed. Your lifestyle has changed. Your way has changed. Your views have changed. And then Umar radiallahu anhu goes on to say, إِيَّايَ تَسْتَقْبِلُونِ فِي هَذَا زَيْ. You have the audacity to meet me in this kind of clothing. إِنَّمَا شَبِعْتُمْ مُنْذُ سَنَتَيْنِ. Just 2 years and you couldn't manage it. You couldn't manage this lifestyle in 2 years and you have changed your ways. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says to them, or they explain to Umar radiallahu anhu, O Amirul Mu'mineen, this dress is just a camouflage. And then they show him that they were still in their normal dress. They still had their weapons under them, etc. So Umar radiallahu anhu now was satisfied that they have not forgotten their original purpose. They have not forgotten their lifestyle. And then he goes on to say something. Again, very, very thought-provoking. He says, Allah's qasam, if you had to live here for 200 years, and you had to change after 200 years, I will remove you from your position. You don't deserve to be in your position if you have adopted some other way of life. If you have adopted some other lifestyle, even after 200 years also, still you must maintain your identity. A very, very important point. Respected friends, today we have completely lost our Islamic identity. Everything of the West has become our identity. Whilst we are very, very concerned and hurt about how they have invaded Gaza and what's going on there, and rightfully so, we need to be concerned about it. But are we concerned that they have invaded our homes? Are we concerned that they have invaded our lifestyle? They have invaded our minds? They have invaded the minds of our children? That doesn't concern us. Even if they invade our lands, but as long as they have not invaded our minds, then inshallah we have won. And if they have invaded our minds but not invaded our lands, we have already lost. Umar radiallahu anhu says, 200 years also you cannot forget your identity. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, the great mufakkir, the great thinker, he gave a very thought-provoking bayan in one of the universities in Damascus, Ash-Shakhsiyatul Islamiyah, Islamic identity. And in that bayan, Maulana Abul Hasan rahmatullah Ali explained, because he was in the land of Sham, which was conquered by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he says, when we read about the conquest of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how a small group had overpowered huge armies like in Yarmouk, etc., he says, we wonder, how was this possible? How did this ever happen? He says, but even greater than this victory of Sahaba, even greater than their victory on the battlefield, was their victory in them maintaining their identity wherever they went in the world. Wherever they went, they never changed. They always held very, very firm on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on the teachings of Islam. So these were a few things that happened here in Jabiya when Umar radiallahu anhu met his generals. And then Umar radiallahu anhu gave a khutbah. Important advices he gave. Very quickly we will run through his advices and just translate them. اِعْمَلُوا لِآخِرَتِكُمْ. The first advice, أَصْلِحُوا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَصْلِحُوا سَرَائِرَكُمْ تَصْلُحْ عَلَانِيَتُكُمْ. O people, rectify your inside. Your outside will get rectified also. Obviously, it doesn't mean that we should not be concerned about the outside. But Umar radiallahu anhu is showing that our primary focus must be on our internal self. On all the wrongs that are within the heart. Many a times we can just give a very good presentation on the outside. In today's time, everything is about presentation. So even if the product is not good, the packaging must be very good, it will sell. So we feel, unfortunately, that that's the same. When it comes to our behavior, the outside, mashallah, everything is good, but the inside is rotten. The inside is decaying. The inside is filthy. And it just takes some occasion, something to happen, and then the real inside self of a person comes out. And then someone thinks, but this man here, how can he behave in this way? That's because we have not made an effort on the inside. So he says, أَصْلِحُوا سَرَائِرَكُمْ, that focus on your inside, rectify your inside. Then he says, اِعْمَلُوا لِآخِرَتِكُمْ تُكْفُوا أَمْرَ دُنْيَاكُمْ, make your primary effort akhirat. Primary effort must be akhirat. Primary concern must be akhirat. Allah will take care of dunya. And today what happens to us? Our day and night is dunya. When it comes to deen, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah will take care of that. When it comes to our children's education, then primary concern must be a prestigious school. You know, they need good education. But my child can't read Quran. Inshallah, Allah will sort that out. Someday that thing will come right also. Completely opposite. He says your focus must be akhirat. Dunya will get taken care of. And then he mentioned the harms of a person being in seclusion with a strange woman. At this occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu explains this as well. Then he gives the barometer of iman, the gauge of iman. مَنْ سَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That person who his good deeds make him happy, not make him proud. They make him happy in appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his evil deeds make him worried and concerned. Allah forbid, today we will do the wrong, we will take pictures of it and post it on social media also. So there's no remorse whatsoever in the wrong that we are doing. Umar radiallahu anhu says, if a person is happy with his good and he's disturbed by his evil, فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, then that person is a true believer. One or two other advices Umar radiallahu anhu gave. A very interesting incident that had taken place in Jabia was Bilal radiallahu anhu also came to meet Umar radiallahu anhu here. From the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Bilal radiallahu anhu could not manage living in Madinah Munawwara. So there were too many memories of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinah Munawwara. He could not manage. So he asked permission from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, can I move away? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him, no, you can't move away. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had freed him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's ihsan and his favor was over him. So he did not want to go against the wish of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He remained in Madinah Munawwara during the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, he told Umar radiallahu anhu, now I'm going. And he went away to Sham. When Umar radiallahu anhu now comes to Jabiya, he comes to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. Sahaba are meeting, old friends are meeting, bringing back old memories. Some Sahaba request Umar radiallahu anhu, ask Bilal radiallahu anhu to give the adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu calls out the adhan. Imagine the flashback that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had. Those glorious days, those beautiful days in Madinah Munawwara, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and they could look at the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those memories flooded their minds. Aslam rahimahullah, the slave of Umar radiallahu anhu, says, falam ara baqiyan akthara min yawma idin. That day was the day I saw people cry the most. In my whole life, I never saw people cry like I saw them crying on that day. Now that monk who had made Umar radiallahu anhu sign that paper for him, that agreement for him, that amnesty document, he comes to Umar radiallahu anhu with a document. There's a document that you signed for me. Umar radiallahu anhu never thought that this day will come. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I will keep up to my word and no one will interfere with you. You will be kept safe and secure. Then preparations now are made for Umar radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to march to Baytul Muqaddas. In the meantime, already a delegation comes from Jerusalem, from Quds. A delegation came to already enter into the peace treaty with Umar radiallahu anhu, because they knew in their scriptures it was already written that this man is going to conquer. There was no point in fighting against him. Umar radiallahu anhu now prepares to leave. His clothes, during that time, his clothes were already dirty, already traveling. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked that his clothes should be washed. So good clothes were brought to him. Fine cotton was brought. Umar radiallahu anhu wore it for a little while. And thereafter, once his clothes were washed and patched, immediately he wore his old clothes again. He was not prepared to wear that fine clothing. Umar radiallahu anhu's conveyance had also become hurt and tired during the journey. So he asked for a conveyance to be brought. So a non-Arab breed of a horse was brought to him. And this breed of horse, when it would move a lot of pride. The style in which it would walk was a very proud style. Umar radiallahu anhu jumps on this birdhawn, on this horse. And as soon as it started moving, and the proud manner in which it was walking, Umar radiallahu anhu jumps off. And he hits this animal. He says, who taught you to walk with such pride? And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, لَقَدْ غَيَّرَنِي هَذَا حَتَّى خِفْتُ أَنْ أَتَكَبَّرُ وَأَنْ أُنْكِرَ نَفْسِي. He says that the movement of this horse, the proud movement of this horse has changed the condition of my heart. I fear that takabbur and pride would come in my heart. Imagine what a check on his heart. He's going for this great conquest. All the spotlights are on him. But at that time, his spotlight was shining on his heart. That what's the condition of my heart? I mustn't allow the slightest amount of pride to come in my heart. Therefore, these people became those liberators. Therefore, these people became those heroes. It was their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These finer aspects of deen that they were careful about. He says that this was changing the condition of my heart. I can't ride on such a conveyance. And then, Umar radiallahu anhu now goes, as he reaches Baytul Muqaddas, then a peace treaty is signed with the Christians. They generals and the chiefs were there and this peace treaty was signed. Lengthy peace treaty where Umar radiallahu anhu gave them asylum, he gave them protection, their places of worship, etc. will all be kept safe. Whilst Umar radiallahu anhu was signing this peace treaty, it was time for Salah. So the Archbishop, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu that why don't you come into the church and perform your Salah? Umar radiallahu anhu says, no, I won't come. I will read my Salah outside. Because if I have to read my Salah there, then the Muslims will come and lay claim to this church. And they will say that our Amir had performed Salah here, and they will take this church away from you. And I have given you asylum, I have given you protection, I will read Salah outside. And up till today there's a masjid standing there, Masjid Umar, where the peace treaty of Umar radiallahu anhu with these Christians is recorded there. Umar radiallahu anhu goes to Baytul Muqaddas, he goes to the mihrab of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, and he performs Salah there. Thereafter Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ka'ab Ahbar. Ka'ab Ahbar was a very learned Jew, and he had accepted Islam after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he asked him, where is the rock? Beneath the dome of the rock that we know of, where is the rock? Now at that time, the rock was completely covered with filth and dirt. Because the Christians, because of their enmity and hatred for the Jews, they would use it as a dump site. They would throw all their dirt there, the filthiest of things. They would throw on this rock. Why? To show their enmity to the Jews. Because the Jews attach importance to this rock. It was their Qibla. So they threw all type of dirt. Hiraqal, Hercules, we explain. When the letter of Rasulullah SAW came to him, he was in Ilya, he was in Jerusalem. After that, he mentioned to the Christians. And he said to them, إِنَّكُمْ لَخَلِيقٌ أَن تُقْتَلُوا عَلَى هَذِي الْكُنَاسَ. It's possible, it's likely that you will be killed at this dump site. بِمَمْ تَهَنْتُمْ هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ. You'll have desecrated this masjid. You'll have disregarded this masjid. This rock is from Jannat. You'll have made this a dump site. I fear like how the Jews were destroyed because of them killing Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, because of them disrespecting the Anbiya, I fear that because of you disrespecting this masjid, you will also be killed. So he had prophesied this, and he instructed that they should start cleaning. They started cleaning, but they could not clean enough. They cleaned a certain portion, and by that time Umar radiallahu anhu already came and conquered this place. Thereafter Umar radiallahu anhu instructed that this entire rock should be cleaned. Now Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ka'ab Ahbar that where should I perform Salah? Where I should perform Salah? So the Aqsa compound is a huge compound in which there are different masajid. Currently 5 masajid in the Aqsa compound. We know of the famous structure, the Dome of the Rock. So that is one masjid. And in the front where the actual Salah takes place, which is known as Masjid Umar, that is the other masjid. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ka'ab Ahbar, that masjid, Masjid Umar, is on the Qibla wall. So he asked Ka'ab Ahbar, where should I perform Salah? So the Kaaba, for example, the Qibla wall is here. And the Dome of the Rock is in the center. So Ka'b Ahbar says to him that you should perform salah behind the dome, so that you will be facing the Qibla as well as showing respect to the dome, to the rock, which is the Qibla of the Yahud. Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, Dahait al-Yahudiyah. There's some traces of Yahudiyah still left in you. Some traces of the Jews are still there. You still want to show respect to something, to a symbol of the Jew. Obviously, it is something of respect for us, but it's not a Qibla for us. We cannot mix our deen. Our Qibla is our Qibla. We will perform salah facing our Qibla. He says that I will perform salah at the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah. He went to the front of the compound and Umar radiallahu anhu performed salah there. As he explained, that was where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that vicinity, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the salah with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam on Laylatul Mi'raj. Umar radiallahu anhu, in the salah, in one of the rakats, he recited the opening verses of Surah Bani Israel. And we will conclude on this. There's a lengthy discussion and explanation to these verses. The gist of it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains His system. His system with regards to the control of Masjid al-Aqsa. And this entire Gaza crisis, the entire Palestinian conflict, it is centered around Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is that pivotal point because of which all of this is happening. So if we understand the system of Allah regarding Masjid al-Aqsa, then inshallah we will understand the solution to the entire conflict. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to the Jews, and then by way of extension this continues. The gist of it is, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum, wa in asa'tum falaha, or thereafter Allah says, wa in uttum udna, that the control of Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is the gauge of the ummah. It is the pulse of the ummah, that depending on the a'mal of the ummah, not the a'mal of the Palestinians, the a'mal of the ummah, Allah will give control of Masjid al-Aqsa to the ummah, or Allah will take control away. When the Jews were fulfilling the commands of Allah, Allah gave them control of Masjid al-Aqsa. When they began to break the commands of Allah, Allah sent very, very tyrant rulers against them, Bukht and Nasr, who came and they completely killed them. They killed them and they invaded their homes, etc. And on a second occasion, the same had happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is my system. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا, we will give you control, but once you go back, then we will also take it away from you. So respected friends, obviously we cannot change the world. But on a micro level, let us make certain resolutions in our life. That we are definitely concerned for Masjid al-Aqsa. The fact that we are sitting for the third night in a row. When Mufti Sahab told me about the program, I said, Mufti Sahab, you can't have so many bayans in 1 week. Third night in a row and so many people sitting in a masjid. It shows our concern for this issue. It shows how dear it is to our heart. We will help with sadaqah. We will make dua. But one resolution that we can make in our lives. We can't change the world, but we can change our own world. We can change our own home. That I will make certain resolutions. Certain sins that are in my life, that is drawing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is one major sin that I'm involved in, let me make that resolution. Ya Allah, because of what is happening to those masoom children in Gaza, because of what is happening to my brothers and sisters in Aqsa, I am making this promise and this covenant with you, Ya Allah, that this guna of mine, I'm going to leave it. Oh, one resolution for one good deed. Ya Allah, my salah is not in order. I will now make sure that I will be punctual with my 5 times salah in the masjid. At least on the day of Qiyamah, I can say to Allah, oh Allah, when all of this was happening, I tried to make one small change in my life. It should not be like so many other crises that have come and gone. That something happened, temporarily we are hyped up, temporarily we are affected, and then we go back to our normal ways. That should not be the situation. We will end on the statement of Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, where he says, Inqilabate jaha wa izi rabhe. We have heard this before as well. Inqilabate jaha wa izi rabhe sunlo, hal taghayurt se sada aatihe, fafam, fafam. That the changes that happen in the world, the different conditions that happen overnight, these are all advices from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen attentively. Every change that happens, it gives a message. Take heed, take heed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take heed from this, whatever is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy For our brothers and sisters that are there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very quickly put an end to this conflict, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again restore Masjid al-Aqsa in the complete control of the Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us time and time and again to those Mubarak lands. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وعذنا من شرور أنفسنا يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب وهازم الأحزاب اهزم الأحزاب وانصر المسلمين عليهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم اللهم كلهم اللهم ارحمهم اللهم استر عوراتهم وآمن رعاتهم اللهم إنهم عطشان فاسقهم اللهم إنهم جياع فأطعمهم اللهم استر عوراتهم وآمن رعاتهم اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم عليك باليهود الغاصبين اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يسدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم ومزق جمعهم ودمر ديارهم وخرب ديارهم اللهم أنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك اللهم من أرادنا وأراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فأشغله بنفسه ورد كيده في نحره واجعل تدبيره تدميره يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل تدبيرهم تدميرهم يا رب العالمين اللهم أقر أعيننا في إعادة المسجد الأقصى إلى بلاد المسلمين اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انصر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج عن كرب أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.